Hello and welcome to the Access Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Vin Misano. We are filming live today from Infinity Sports Performance, joined by a special guest, Andrew Amazalorso. Andrew is at Nassau Community College right now, but he's actually doing something really cool. He started the Keep Smiling Foundation. It's a foundation that raises awareness for pancreatic cancer. Unfortunately, Andrew lost his father at a young age, and he's looking to do good and to, prevent that from happening in the future. So, Andrew, thank you for coming on today. How's your year going so far?
Year's going great. 2020 is off to a good start with a great offseason at East Coast Sports Performance in Farmerdale. But besides that, I'm working hard towards a good 2020 campaign at Nassau.
Mm-hmm. And just from a baseball perspective, I just want to, before we get into the foundation, I know that you graduated from Kellenberg High School 2017, and that was our followers are probably very familiar with that team, knowing that they won the Catholic League Championship. Actually, they had won the previous year, too, and that was the year with the historic pitching staff. So what can you tell our audience about your best memories from that team?
I mean, it was a lot of fun. I wasn't one of the pitchers that got to pitch that year, mainly because, you know, we had three of the top Long Island arms, Kappas, Diaz, and Williams, and it was just insane going off the bus every game, knowing that you had a shot at winning and a shot at like going off and getting a sweep of the doubleheader kind of for the Catholic League. So.
And then how about in the championship game? I remember I was there at Hofstra, but what was it like being, you know, that last inning? I know it was 1-0 going into the last inning.
We got the I remember this like it was yesterday. It was we got the first run first in the first inning. And that was the only run for the rest of the game. And we were all on the edge of our seats, everyone on top of the dugout. We thought we were going to win that game, and then by a lot more. But they came out, great game. And just that dog pile, man. Mm-hmm. We got stuck at the bottom with my friend. And totally worth it. Totally great game.
And going into the season, did you guys – was that the goal? You know, you guys had won it the year before.
Yeah. We needed to go back-to-back. That was like a – we wanted to like finish off our senior year, kind of put our names in the history books of Catholic League, saying we went back to back and gone. Everyone now on that team mainly went on to go play a college sport of some kind, mainly college baseball. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to leave our Kellenberg legacy like that.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like playing for Coach Alfala? I know he doesn't get as much publicity just because of how many good coaches are in the conference, but I feel like he deserves his respect too.
Coach Alfala is like another father figure to me. When I lost my father, he was always there for me my senior year and my junior year. He just always a great mentor, great on and off the field coach. I still talk to him to this day. He helped me get a spot at Nassau. Great man.
In the case of Jason Diaz, I mean, he's 2 years younger than you. Can you tell our audience about when you guys first saw him, you know, how hard he threw and what he was all about?
Oh, he was all he wanted to do was win. Mm-hmm. I remember that coming up to his first varsity practice. That's when I first spoke to him. That's all he wanted to do was win. So he wanted to bring that to the team, and we were all like, let's see the hype. Let's see the hype around Jason Diaz. And he came in throwing straight gas. Mm-hmm. And we were just like, let's go. We got it this year, you know. And I'm like, I'm perfectly fine with sitting on the sidelines, you know, watching you chuck. And if you needed to come in and help, perfectly happy to do that. But
But Kellenberg doesn't call up younger players, underclassmen. So was there a point where you guys were like, uh-oh, what if they don't let him play?
We were kind of push him, like, come on, like, get on the varsity kind of thing. But, like, when that happened, it was a lot of noise around Kellenberg. Like, finally someone got called up. It's got to be the real deal, you know. And, like, I, like, knew going in, like, first time I spoke to him, I knew, like, he was going to be the real deal. He just has that winning mentality, winning attitude about him.
Mm-hmm. And how about Chris Kappas? He's at Pittsburgh now. But he actually won the Player of the Year that year, even though there was, you know, like you mentioned, all the hype surrounding Diaz, and he performed as well as you could perform. But Kappas actually was the guy that was the Catholic Pitcher of the Year that year.
Chris Kappas, great friend of mine. He's a insane athlete, just pure. Some of the plays, he made a diving play in the championship game, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think he also probably
played center field.
Played center field that game. And just watching him go on the mound every day, dominate both at the plate and on the mound was just beautiful to watch, you know. Great teammate, great all around. And then I tearing it up at Pitt, as probably like as he should.
Yep. So, and Andrew Williams too, right? He was really the number three, but on any other staff, he probably would have been the number one, right?
Yeah. I played with him in Nassau, actually. Mm-hmm. Now he's at Adelphi, but he's my old throwing partner every now and then. Mm-hmm. He's great kid, great command of his pitches, throws hard too, and mm-hmm. That kid has like 7 different pitches. Really mm-hmm. good kid. And with him, just another, like, we would just trade pitches here and there, you know, work on our stuff together at Nassau. But at Kallenberg, mm-hmm. man, he was a great kid, yeah.
And during the season, did you get a chance to step in the box against any of these guys?
Oh, no. I was actually a hitter my first 2 years at Calvert, and then, like, I kind of saw a few of the guys throw, and I'm like, you know, I'm mm-hmm. just going to stick to pitching, you know. A good thing I did, because Diaz would have blown a fastball right by me.
I hear you. So what was the motivation to go to Kallenberg? I know that a lot of a lot of people know about how good the athletics are in the Catholic League. But for you specifically, what was the motivation?
Well, faith for me is a big thing in my life. Mm-hmm. My father raised me to be a good Catholic. And Chaminade, you know, I really didn't like the whole – I liked the more of a bus ride to school kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I would have been forced to take the train, so the train's right by my house. Kallenberg also has the girls, you know.
Yeah.
And then it's just a more of a family environment, kind of mm-hmm. More family notes. Like, they try to get your family involved in mm-hmm. with Kallenberg. And it was just felt like a home for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. So you feel like you made the right decision?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'd go, mm-hmm. would make that decision over and over.
Mm-hmm. So now, obviously, I'd be remiss to not to mention the foundation. So, obviously, you had a hardship that you had to deal with. Like myself, I know losing my dad at a young age, it's something that not a lot of people can deal with. So what was the motivation for you to start the foundation, even though a lot of people might have gone through rough things in their life, but for you to take the initiative to do something like this?
Senior year, I wanted to do something different. Junior year was kind of like I lost him. I didn't know really how to deal with it. I was going through a lot of things. And then my senior year, in February, I go to my mom. I'm like, listen, I want to make a difference. I want to help. Because I really couldn't feel like I could help my dad at the time while he had the cancer for the 4 years that he did. And so she's like, why don't you try to like raise money every now and then, but like wait till the end of your senior year. I'm like, I need to do this. I need to get this started now. Like mm-hmm. I have ideas. I want to get it going. And I just started giving out bracelets around Kallenberg, and everyone loved it and kind of ran with the whole baseball aspect of everything. So mm-hmm. it really just was a way for me to like, channel like all the stress and everything to kind of just try to make a as Coach FL told me, make a negative into a positive.
Yeah, a positive outlet.
Yeah, and it still helps me cope to this day about like everything that I went through during those 4 years with my father.
Mm-hmm. So now you guys have raised $3,200 in a couple of years now that you've been working. Obviously, nothing to scoff at as you are getting your working for your degree and managing, you know, playing college baseball at the same time. So how have you guys been able to do that to this point? And, you know, what are some of your plans for the future?
Well, for the $3,200, mainly I was selling bracelets, selling gear that I've teamed up with multiple partners here and there. I've even had help from Pittsburgh Pirate Gregory Polanco and Starling Marte. They donated a lot of money to my foundation. They signed a bunch of jerseys for charities, and then they wanted to donate to me, which is very generous of them. I met them through a friend of mine that I played summer ball in Virginia with. And my future, what I would want to do in the future with this foundation, maybe have like a dinner or something, mm-hmm. possibly maybe like, I don't know, baseball tournaments that baseball have, and that would be awesome to have it on Long Island as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, if Frank's listening, now's a good time to come to him with that idea.
Hello,
but,
Frank.
And now's a good time also to mention our partnership as well. We team up for the 2020 season. Axis Baseball is going to donate money every time a high school pitcher throws a no-hitter this year. So that's good. That's more motivation for you pitchers out there to go 7 innings and keeping your opponent scoreless, and it'll help save lives potentially. So, and what are some other cool experiences that you've gotten over the last couple of years, different players you've gotten to meet?
I met Stony Brook player Daniel Zamora on City Field. That was my first ever time on a major league field, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And through that, I got to meet like Pete Alonso, Brandon Nimmo, Jeff McNeil. It was like insane. Like these players, like you would think, mm-hmm. fans project them to be as like mean, they really don't want to talk to you on the sideline, but when you get to meet them, when you get to talk to them for like a few minutes, they actually mm-hmm. they're really nice guys,
down
and
to
like
earth, right?
Down to earth. You gotta treat them like they're normal people, and they'll help you right back. And mm-hmm. Pete Alonso was very cool, man. Mm-hmm. And Jeff McNeil, awesome. Brandon Nimmo, awesome. And I met mm-hmm. even a World Series star, Juan Soto.
Mm.
And Juan Soto was more than happy to help out my foundation. I even got to talk to Kevin Long.
Really?
David Martinez, managers of the Nationals, is wearing the bracelets for the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wore, like, you can see when he's hoisting the trophy saying, like, we are the World Series champions. Like, he's got the Keep Smiling yep. bracelet on. And it's just like, I see that and I'm like, that's awesome.
That's a surreal moment, right?
And I know it's just a bracelet for now, and we're eventually going to hopefully grow into shirts and everything. But it's just like, it's surreal. Like, I'm actually, whatever it is, like, it could be so small as a bracelet or a smile. It's like
it's
making
your
an impact. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned with the players, people project them to be one way or the other. Do you feel like they are more apt to be nice to you because of the foundation, or even strict aside from that, that's really who they are?
That's really who they are. They're these MLB players are looked at as like they just want to like go out and play baseball. You know, they don't want to like leave the fans aside, which they are, some most players aren't portrayed that way. But like some of the big time players, they really don't want to talk to you. But they are really good guys, and they really at heart they will help anyone that you like you reach out to.
Mm-hmm. And that brings me to my last point with social media. I know you guys have a really good page and you maintain it. How important is that in this day and age? And, you know, if not for social media, do you even feel like you would have gotten off the ground with this?
If it wasn't for social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, I wouldn't have as much traction as I would have just to get the money raised, to get make connections with all these players. Because, like, even here at Infinity, I got Joe Palumbo, Texas Rangers. And he got Anthony Kay to also take a picture. And it's like making connection through a connection, and hopefully maybe Anthony Kay can help me.
Yeah.
You know? But connections through the social media is just an insane way to just like form a bond with other players.
Mm-hmm. And how much time do you put into it? Would you say that it's time consuming?
At the end of the week on Sunday, you get like your screen time.
Yeah.
And my social media time is like 4 hours, and my mom doesn't like that. But you know, I gotta put the work in. So
yeah.
It's only me running the foundation. I got my mom mails the packages from the bracelets, and then I just hopefully every day try to message a few players, hopefully get them to join the foundation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And God willing, it will keep growing. So, Andrew, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate you doing a great thing. Guys, make sure that you follow him. How could they get in touch with you?
On Instagram is @TheKeepSmilingFoundation. On Twitter is JKS4PC, Just Keep Smiling for Pancreatic Cancer. And on Twitter, we're The Keep Smiling Foundation.
Awesome. Andrew, thank you very much for your time, and best of luck in the 2020 season.
Thank you for having me.
And to our audience, thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Access Baseball Podcast.